Lest We Forget. Lest We Forget, A Better World for Youth presents Youth Must Be Free. You hear them? You hear those marching feet? That's the youth of the world marching forward through the years to maturity. That's every young man, every young woman who has ever lived. That's progress. That's the human race. It never stops, that marching. It started when the world began, when there were only a few unclad heels pounding the grassy path. And as time went on, the marching of the young people, all the young people in the world, mind you, grew stronger and louder and more positive. The beat grew stronger when the bare feet were encased in sandals. The beat grew stronger and acquired a steely accompaniment when swords and spears and bows and arrows were thrust upon the youth of Rome and Carthage. The beat grew stronger when the sandals gave way to wooden shoes and the wooden shoes to leather. You hear those marching feet growing louder and louder, stronger and stronger, never stopping, never slowing down. That's the youth of the world, the youth that must be free. And what about our youth in America? They're just a section, just a small portion of the billions of marchers. Where do their footsteps go in this time of strife and warfare, when the very strength of their young muscles and inexperienced brains leads in most of the world only to death? Listen, you can hear them branching off from the main column. You hear it? They're separating again. They're dividing. They're filtering off down 1,000 little lanes. They're still in step, but they're going a different way, a new way. They're crashing through the underbrush. They're plodding across the deserts. They're making a new way for themselves. Why have they broken out of the ranks and deserted the ease of the well-trodden road for the hardship of the new ways they're going? Where are they going? Say there, young fellow, where are you going?
Me? I'm going to school. Most of us are still going to school. High school, vocational school. Some of us to college.
How old are you, son?
17.
Why go to school? In Germany today, you'd be in the army.
Not me. I'm going to school for a little while longer before I fight.
Are you afraid to fight?
Afraid? No. When have any of us ever been afraid? No, I'm not scared. I wanted to go last month. But Dad told me, he said...
Not yet, son. Not till what you're fighting for becomes the most important thing in your life.
But I do know. We're fighting those guys because they're wrong and we're right.
And over there, that's what they're telling their young men. They're wrong. We're right. That's not half the story, son. There's a lot more you've got to find out before you know what you're fighting for.
So I'm going to find out. Gosh, I want to get into that war. It's likely to be over before I get a chance. I've got to find out quick. Do you know, mister? Can you tell me?
I can't tell you, son. I'd like to, but I can't. What did your mother say?
Oh, you know how mothers are. She just kept saying
In the last war, it was your father. He came through all right. He knew at once why he went, but it took me years to find out. He talked and talked about it to me, tried to explain it to me, to make me see. That was before you were born.
Well, if it was all right for
that
him...
That doesn't make it all right for you, son. It's never right for anyone to fight until he knows why. It's something you've got to learn, son. We can't tell it to you.
But it's liable to take years. I can't waste that time. The country needs me.
My son isn't going to go until his mind is as ready as his heart, as firm as his strong right arm, as steady as the ground under his feet.
But how can I learn that? Who'll tell me?
No one can tell you. You must open your eyes and look around you. Look at the things you've taken for granted, the rights and duties and privileges. Look at them as though they were something new and foreign and strange. Examine them carefully, curiously. Wake up, son, and look around you.
So he goes to the school. It's a little red schoolhouse atop a bare, windswept knoll in Nebraska. Or it's a white clapboard building, 200 years old, facing the common of a small New England town. Or a big red brick building, looking almost like a factory, 8 stories high, sprawling over acres of ground, with annexes and night courses, with too little time for questions and individuality. They may go in the door looking different. They come out as Americans all.
I have sworn upon the altar of the living God eternal hostility against every form of tyranny over the minds of men. Thomas, can you tell me who said that? Thomas, aren't you paying any attention to what goes on in this classroom?
I'm sorry, Miss Parsons. I was thinking that...
Well, can't you think of the answer to the question I just asked?
I guess I don't know.
It's Thomas Jefferson. You'd better do some studying, young man, and I think you'd better stay after school today.
I was glad to stay after school, mister, because then I had a chance to ask Miss Parsons...
What did you say, Thomas?
I want to know why we're fighting this war.
I can't tell you why, Thomas. There's so many reasons all bound together. There's always economic considerations. They're very important. There's the theory that even though diversified elements may help to form a cohesive unity, nevertheless, there is...
So you can see Miss Parsons wasn't much help. Funny thing happened on the way home from school, though. If you got a minute, mister, I'd like to tell you about it.
Sure, I've got plenty of time.
There was a fellow making a speech on the corner, and...
And I say that it doesn't make any difference if they do take a few little islands out there in the Pacific. Are they worth fighting for and shedding blood for? Let them have those islands. That's all they want. Let them have the islands and save our young men. I tell you...
You better quit that kind of talk.
Yeah, we don't want any of that kind of stuff going on around here.
You better get moving, fella, before we get real sore at you.
Maybe we better give you a going over anyway. Just to teach you not to try that kind of talk around this neighborhood.
You let that man alone.
Yep, I was surprised, too. It was Miss Parsons, the school teacher. Boy, did she tell those guys off.
Didn't you hear what he was saying?
This man has a right to talk as he believes. I don't agree with him any more than you do. But he's got as much right to his opinion as you or I have to ours. And he hasn't said a word that's against the law. Let me tell you.
Yes, little Miss Parsons. Tommy was proud of the way she shamed those men. And way in the back of his mind, an idea started. For the first time in his life, Tommy realized what freedom of speech really meant. The right to speak freely without fear of persecution, imprisonment, or even death. He passed the church on his way home, and the sun seemed poised atop its low, narrow spire, outlining the little wooden cross atop the steeple in a flood of fiery sunlight. And it hit him hard. There wasn't any soldier on guard in front of the church. The doors were open, and he could see old Mrs. Scraggs and the deacon's wife arranging some fresh flowers near the altar. Nobody was trying to stop anybody from going to church.
And so I told her that I didn't care. Oh, there's Tommy. Tommy!
Yes, ma'am?
Don't forget to tell your mother we're expecting her at the church meeting tonight.
Yes, ma'am.
Another block down the street, there's a newspaper stand. The opposition paper has an editorial denouncing the army for some blunder they think has been made. There's a little crowd gathered round the newsstand.
They ought to lynch that editor, printing a pack of lies like that.
Yeah, whose side is he on, anyway?
Ought to smash his presses.
That's a good idea. Bet you he might even be a spy.
That kind of talk goes on all the time. Of course, they never do anything about the editor, or the paper, or the presses. But the very next day, the presses broke down. They were pretty worn out. And the paper missed an issue.
What's the idea? I thought a man had a right to print what he wanted to. I thought we had a free press.
What do you mean the presses broke down? Somebody must have broken them. I'd like to get my hands on the guy that did it.
We ought to put a guard around that place. You gotta watch out for those spies. Of course, I don't agree with everything they say in that paper.
But... I don't either. But they still got a right to print it.
Tom was there. He heard all that. And the rough idea in the back of his mind slowly began to take shape and form. He began to see now what his father had been talking about. He thought he had it all straight in his mind, but he wasn't quite sure until...
You think anything's going to happen? There are only about 50 of them in there.
Yeah, and there's hundreds of us. We could give them an awful beating.
We could, but I don't think we will.
Why not? They're traitors, every one of them. They don't want America to win the war. Why, those...
They want us to win just as much as we do. They have a right to their own opinion on the best way to do it.
The best way is to give them the beating of their life. It's an insult to the town to have a meeting like that, right in the town hall.
It's a mark of honor for the town that they can have their meeting and not be persecuted. The kid's right. We're not going to do anything to him.
That's how Tommy found out why the war is being fought. That's how he was able to go to his father and mother the next day and tell them...
I've got the answer now. I know why we're fighting. It's all right for me to go now. When I saw little Miss Parsons tell those bullies off, when I saw the church with the sun streaming down on it, it was as though I'd never really seen it before. When I heard those fellas at the newspaper stand, and that mob down at the town hall last night, it came to me slowly. It was a lot to learn. It was kind of like they taught us in school a few years ago, you know, in American history. But then it seemed like it didn't have anything to do with me, really. It was all sort of shadowy. But now it's alive in me. I can feel it throbbing in my chest. I can feel it burning in my heart and searing in my brain. We've got to keep this country free. I know why now.
Yes, Tommy knew why. All the things he had learned in that schoolhouse suddenly appeared in a new light. They didn't try to make you all think the same things at school. Not when they taught you to memorize little speeches like the one that starts,
47 years ago, our fathers brought forth on this continent a new nation, conceived in liberty and dedicated to the proposition that all men are created equal.
And finishes,
and that government of the people, by the people, for the people, shall not perish from the earth.
For the first time in his life, the soft thunder of that speech reached Tommy's heart. And a lot of things changed. He started remembering lots of speeches in history. Events and words that had seemed like ghostly things, having no meaning for him until now. He remembered hearing the president in 1939 saying,
"No matter what comes, we must preserve our national birthright, liberty of conscience and of education, of the press and of free assembly, and equal justice to all under law. As a free people, we must defend our dearly won heritage of freedom against all assaults."
And as all those thoughts came flooding in upon him, and he tried, in his inarticulate small boy fashion, to prove to his parents that he did know, his feet started to twist and turn. He couldn't control them. You hear those marching feet? That's the youth of America. That's Tommy. He's with them now. And like the rest of them, he's learned. He knows why he's fighting. He knows what he's protecting. Yes, he's going out to do battle, here or abroad, wherever he's needed. A battle he's willing to fight for the rest of his life. So the little red schoolhouse can keep business going as usual. So the little white church and all it stands for will be protected. So the opposition newspaper and the town hall meetings can keep right on. There's no regimentation to Tommy. He hasn't been forced to grab a gun and march in goose step from the time he was 10 years old. He's never seen a church pillaged or newspaper presses smashed. His country has never stabbed another nation in the back. He hasn't been told what he must think, how he must act. He's led a free life, and that's what he's fighting for. So those who in years to come will be as free as he is. For Tommy knows now, youth must be free. Lest we forget, fifth series, electrically transcribed, will be heard again over this same station next week at the same time. This is an educational presentation of the Institute of Oral and Visual Education, Washington, D.C.